Hey, guys, can I get a Big Storm beer? I'm thirsty. I want a Big Storm beer. Cut me in for 500 clams over there. You got my vote. Yours truly, the Sage. Is that really fair? What's going on with the Brain Trust? They don't know what the hell to do. Two slices instead of three. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm eating right. Maybe he should drop some weight.
Buccaneers fans, 1 week from training camp with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, 61 plus years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. GM Sean Sullivan is the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, but more important, he is your guy, your go-to guy for the Ira Kaufman discount, the Joe Bucks Fan discount, and he's going to help you personally with whatever you need to buy a new vehicle or a used vehicle or just answer questions, whatever it is, he wants to help you personally. So many Bucks fans have asked for him, and he's just dying to help you, and he's the big boss at the best darn Ford dealer the Tampa Bay area has ever seen. BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the Curry name, the family name, 61 plus years in Tampa. BillCurryFord.com. Start right there. And order your new vehicle. No deposit. Sean Sullivan's going to give you $500 in gift cards just for doing it. And you're going to get concierge service, your own custom guide to help you through the process. Your concierge, they're great and they're going to help you. And if it doesn't work out, doesn't work out. You know, Sean's got plenty of people to buy vehicles. Get your deposit in for your 2023. Pick your color, whatever you need. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, you know, I'm not going to call you the king of Newport Richie today because I've heard that you haven't been very kingly up in your neighborhood. You can tell us about that. But Sage Lee DeKemper is back from Vegas. He's refreshed. We're all ready for training camp next week. And I got a couple of good Bucks nuggets for you, Sage. But how are you?
Doing well, my friend. I'm knee deep in Bruce Springsteen right now. Knee deep. And DeKemper doesn't want to hear it. But let's put that aside because the Kemper's musical tastes are a little questionable. Bruce is the man. And where does he start his U.S. tour? Right in Amalie Arena. Tickets going on sale this week. I hope to jump the line, DeKemper. If I have a couple of extra ones, you're not getting one, Lee, because you don't appreciate
them.
You don't appreciate the boss man who is now 72 years old. This could be his last tour. And speaking of his last tour, that brings me to Tom Brady, gentlemen. I'm going into training camp next week. I'm energized. I'm eager. I'm ready to go because I believe this will be Brady's last time around in Tampa. Isbitz isn't buying it necessarily. He isn't buying it. But my tea leaves say this is it for Mr. Brady. And Lee, if you read my column the other day, I am suggesting that Brady is playing better in his 2 years at $1 than he did over his career in Foxborough. Now, that sounds absolutely crazy, but I believe I've got the goods to back it up. It is absolutely remarkable, and as long as Brady is upright, and you know it better than anybody, this remains a very, very dangerous football team. So let's go, Lee. Let's get out there to training camp.
Well, I guess your analogy for Brady would be better than mine, because my musical hero, Eddie Van Halen, sadly is dead. So good thing Brady's not. And yeah, Eddie Van Halen over Springsteen, Andy Day all day. It's not even a discussion. It's ridiculous.
I thought your musical hero was Andy Williams.
No. But, you know, outside of the Randy Moss years with the Belichick and Brady, I absolutely agree with you. Brady is more of a weapon now with the Arians/Leftwich offense than he ever was with New England, except when Randy Moss was there. But it's almost, if you told someone that you transport somebody 20 years ago, say, hey, there's a 44-year-old quarterback who is one of the biggest weapons in the NFL, and he's better now than he was when he was 25, they'd have you take a breath test.
You're right, Steve. It's absolutely unimaginable what's going on with number 12.
I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to get your take on something that really wasn't reported anywhere else other than at JoeBucksFan.com because, you know, we talked about how Brady sat down with Variety magazine and did this interview and, you know, how it was in May and then it was, but he made them hold it until July and all that stuff. And he gave a comment about his future, but I dug up on Saturday, he did a little video for variety, and I watched it, and it was different than the Q&A that appeared in the online magazine story. So the guy asked Brady on the video, how many more seasons do you think you're going to be playing professional football? And I'll just read you Brady's quote, and in the way I remember him saying it. He said, "Oh God, are you my wife? It feels like one of those questions she would ask me." And then he paused, and then he said, "I'm saying one, but I reserve the right to change my mind." And I thought that was a little bit of a different kind of answer, Ira. You know, we haven't sort of heard him put a year on it and then say, "Hey, I can change my mind if I want to." And he was very serious when he got to the part about changing his mind. And then this now comes in the background of yesterday. Sports Illustrated puts out a video of Camille Kostic saying that she doesn't believe. She was answering a Q&A for an SI swimsuit, some sort of extravaganza show or gathering or something. And
Swim Week in Miami.
Yeah, there you go. Swim Week in Miami. Lee's all over it. And she said that she doesn't believe this is it for Gronk. She thinks he's just playing games with Tom Brady. Retire, unretire. And then she goes on, you know, love me not, blah, blah, blah. What do you think of all this stuff, especially Brady's phrasing there?
Steve, I think you're onto something. Lee, I don't remember Brady ever specifically saying one more year. I don't remember that. Of course, he did say, "I can change his mind." We all know that. But he did say a few years ago he wanted to play till he was 45. Turns 45 in a week or two. He would be 46 if he played in 2023. So that goes along with Brady's master plan, if he ever had one. As far as Gronk's concerned, Lee, I think I might be an outlier here. But I'm not happy with all this nonsense. Lee, I mean, suppose the Bucks really don't know any more than Camille Kostic is saying at this point. Is that really fair? What's going on with the brain trust? They don't know what the hell to do with Rudolph or Jared Cook. Should we get this guy? Do we know if Gronk's coming back? You would think they've got more inside information, especially through Brady. You know, those two are in contact all the time, thick as thieves.
Well, they did a video last week, Brady and Gronk. Yeah.
But Lee, what if the Bucks don't really know any more than Gronk saying I'm done or Camille Kostic saying he might not be done? Doesn't it kind of tie their hands a little bit about their future plans? I mean, you know, look, it's fun to talk about this, and some Buck fans, I think a lot of them are over this. They've had enough of this. But Lee, at some point, hoping the guy comes back in November or December, you know, I don't think it's a positive for the organization.
I'm starting to get burned out on Gronk. Will he or won't he? You know what? If you want to come back, come back. If not, we got to move on. But we'll welcome you back with open arms. We're not going to beg. I've reached that point, number one. Number two, what has Jason Light done to replace Gronk?
He drafted a couple of guys, and one's very raw. And neither one of them was a premium draft pick, Lee.
Well, so let's think about this. Jason Light is going to go to war with probably his last year with the greatest quarterback ever, and he's going to go to war to win a Super Bowl with one tight end on the roster who caught a pass in an NFL game. You really believe that? I don't. So basically what I'm saying is, if White really believed Gronk was not going to come back, wouldn't he have made some move by now? Now, we heard that Light was talking with Kyle Rudolph. You know, who knows what that means? It could be he called up his agent and like, "Hey, you want to have a couple of Ramosas?" You know, that's all we know. That's all we know. The way I look at it is, what have the Bucks done to replace Gronk? They've done nothing. What's that tell me? Door's still open.
You got to think they know more than we know within the walls of one Buck place, Steve. You got to hope that.
Yeah, you got to hope that. But let's say they don't. I guess at some point, maybe it's fair to wonder if Light drop the ball a little bit at the tight end position. Maybe you should have been looking for a guy who was more plug and play in the draft versus a guy coming off surgery. That speculation isn't fair right now because we don't know what they really know, but I don't know. I mean, it's a little odd for Gronk's girlfriend to come out and say that publicly on video. She's a polished media person. She knows what she's doing, and it's just a little bit strange. I have to admit, it's a little strange. They want you guessing, and I'm assuming they want you guessing because he is coming back. So that's sort of where I am.
I don't think it's really fair the way Gronk's played this this mind game with the organization.
Well, it's fair, Ira. It's fair if the organization knows what's going on.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And Steve, to your point, if Gronk was for sure not coming back and he told the Bucks that in mid-April, maybe they draft Trey McBride, Steve. Maybe they do, who put up big numbers as a tight end in college, albeit, you know, the competition wasn't great. But he was the best pass-catching tight end available in this draft, and the Bucs didn't get him.
You know who's loving this speculation, Ira? And I think we can all agree that they know what's going on behind the scenes. Guess who absolutely loves this Gronk speculation?
Go ahead.
Glazers.
Well, they
because
love it. Up
it keeps their team in the public discourse.
Well, they're not going to love it if they're not getting any production out of the tight end position this fall, Lee. They're not going to love
like
that.
Like I said, I would think they would know. Because, yeah, I mean, you think that Glazer's gotten a hold of light? What's going on with Gronk?
Lee, to your point about the intrigue, you know, you look around the other 31 teams. Is there a comparable, and I don't mean Deshaun Watson, because that's a whole totally different thing. Gronkowski's doesn't face legal problems. Steve, is there any comparable to the Gronkowski situation around the NFL? I mean, why does everything have to happen in Tampa?
Hey, it's a beautiful thing, Ira. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Before I go back to Brady, Sage, are you someone who talks to and respects Larry Holder, the longtime Saints beat writer?
Don't know him that well, but he seems to be credible.
All right, Sage. Well, yeah, he's been on the beat, I think, 16, 17 years. And he did a radio interview the other day at CBS Sports, quite a long interview, really just diving into all things Saints. And I like him. He's a personable guy and not a hot take guy and very reasoned and stuff. Doesn't take himself too seriously. And he works for The Athletic now. And anyway, in this long interview, they pressed him on, you know, hey, what do you think's the ceiling for the Saints? And he said 10 games, 10 wins is the ceiling for the Saints. And the other fun thing he said in there, Ira, is that he believes a reason Sean Payton quit is because of the quarterback situation between Jameis and what they were looking at. Otherwise, it's a reason that Sean Payton quit, and that even though Jameis had success last year, it was very measured and it wasn't within this type of offensive structure that Peyton wants to do, and then that's a reason he bailed. But I was very excited to hear a reasoned and seasoned Saints beat writer say that they're max. He said, quote, I'm going to max out at 10 wins.
Guys, that gives Holder even more credibility. I think 10 is a perfect number for the maximum, 10-7. Pretty good season. Pretty good chance you get into the playoffs. Not guaranteed at 10-7. I would assume the Bucs win more than 10, so you'd be a wild card. We know about the hex that the Saints have over the Bucs, and it is getting ridiculously. I believe it's 7 straight regular season, including 4 over Brady. I know the Bucs won the big one, but facts are the facts. Including that 9-0 game, Lee, it's still hard to imagine the Bucs getting shut out last year at home. I mean, that's just crazy with Brady playing the whole way. And they got a good defense, but Lee, I think Holder's points are right. When you've sent Drew Brees out there basically for 15 years, Brees arguably the most accurate quarterback in the history of the National Football League, the history. When you've done that and then you go to Jameis Winston and all of a sudden you're putting shackles on Winston, Lee, he was playing pretty well until he got hurt in the Bucs game, but he was throwing the ball 20, 25 times a game. This was very, very different utilization of Jameis Winston. It was not an accident. Sean Payton had all summer to think about how he was going to use Winston, and he didn't really trust him. He trusted him, to become a running team. So I think there's something to that. Payton, and I know your feelings about Winston, but he's got an awful lot to prove, especially this year. We shall see. I think 10's the right number on the upward swing for the Saints this year.
Yeah, I agree with Holder. 10's the ceiling, I believe. Especially with Camaro's going to be out. How many games with the suspension?
Right. Their offense doesn't scare anybody, Lee, at this point.
Last year, correct. This year, I don't know. I'm a big, big, big Olave fan. So I think they've upgraded their receivers. Then to get Landry as well, I can't go there.
Well, Michael Thomas looms as the key factor. Steve, is he healthy? Is he motivated? Let's not forget. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. He looked like the best receiver in football. I mean, back-to-back 140 catches, offensive player of the year. We know what he does against the Bucs. They can't cover him when he's healthy. But the guy's all messed up the last 2 years. And it all started with an ankle injury against the Bucks in the opener of the 2020 season.
Yeah,
he's the same player. And Winston really needs him, really needs him.
Well, he's a wild card. Like Lee said, they upgraded at receiver probably because they don't have a lot of faith in Thomas, but they still have Thomas. And so it's a wild card, and they're not a bad team. I just thought it was encouraging to me to hear a seasoned beat writer say, yeah, I think they're going to max out at 10. And right. I thought it was funny that, that throwing it out there that, yeah, Sean Payton quit in part because of his quarterback. He'd rather take a year off than coach him again. So, yeah, that was always fun since, of course, we have to hate the Saints, Ira. It's part of our DNA. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to find the beer near you and to see all the amazing Big Storm craft beers. BigStormBrewery.com, taproom locations with amazing food and live music as well in Pasco County, off State Road 54, Clearwater on 49th Street, Orlando at the Amway Center, and Cape Coral. Now, Ira Lee has been combing through Warren Sharp, the noted handicapper and analytics football-focused guy out of Vegas, very famous, more so, I think, for his data-driven study of the NFL, you know, just all kinds of numbers that they look at in Vegas and presenting them well. He put it out there that the Bucs defense was top 10 in all these metrics, and they took a step backwards last year. And last year, the Bucs defense also had a very easy schedule of opposing offenses, which was obvious to us, and we know how much easier the schedule was. And that this year, though, they're going to play a lot tougher offenses. So it's sort of an equalizer that we might see for the defense. What do you think of that? Where we might see the impact?
You know, I fully understand why Lee can't wait to get his hands on that grubby Warren Sharp book every year. I can see it. I can see it because this guy really goes in the weeds, Lee. He really does.
Yeah.
And he puts the time in. He puts the work in. For example, he's talking about third down defense or something. He just doesn't talk about the number, 39.5% of conversions. That's not Warren Sharp. He breaks it down into how many third and five and longers they do, and really, really, really detailed work. Lee, I'm looking at this defense. I'm looking hard at it. And I don't know. I mean, I know it's Bowles' thing. I think Bowles is going to be stretched a little bit as the head coach. He's going to poke his head into the offensive room and the quarterback room. He wants to know what's going on. That's his right. I got no problem with that. But you think, Lee, as a result, he might delegate more on the defensive side to his assistants. I don't know if that's a good thing. Lee, I like some of the assistants, but Bowles is Bowles. I don't think this is an elite defense. I just don't think it is. They've lost some people. We shall see about this draft pick. Is he as good as Sue? Can Akeem Hicks stay healthy? We shall see. You know, is Logan Ryan as good as Jordan Whitehead at this stage in his career? Can Devin White get back into being a major factor with splash plays? We shall see. Is Lavonnie David fully healthy? Lee, I'm not sure this is an elite defense. I'm a little worried on that side of the ball.
I agree with you, Ira. I don't see how anyone can call the Bucs defense elite because there's way too many question marks. I mean, Logan Hall has never played a snap in the NFL, so how can you predict he's going to be any kind of player? You hope. There's a lot of hope here. You know what I think about hope? Hope, like Bobby Knight said, the worst word in the English language. Very much is a four-letter word. You hope they can replace Sue. You hope that Keen Hicks stays healthy. You hope Logan Hall is the stud player they think. You hope Joe Tryon can take the next step. You hope Lavonte David's healthy. A lot of hope there. And I'm not a believer in hope. I'm a believer in facts. I'm a believer in history. And they very well could be elite. I can't go there because there's too many question marks.
But Steve, let's be honest.
Well, I am going to hold on, Sage. I am going to be honest, which is why I got to disagree with you here, Ira. Come on now. All right, Ira, look, they've got two Pro Bowlers legit on the front line in Vea and Shaq Barrett. Nobody would argue that at all. They've got two Pro Bowl caliber players behind them, Devin White and Lavonte David. Nobody would argue that. Most people would say they're the top two inside linebacker tandem. Then you've got Carlton Davis, who's a true top 10 cornerback. He may not be better than that, but I'll put him at 9 or 10 in the NFL. And Antoine Winfield Jr. is a Pro Bowler. And the rest of the guys have experience, at least a little bit. So I'm not seeing it. What other team has five Pro Bowlers running out on defense there? I don't know who's got that. So I'm going to say they should be an elite level defense, not an elite defense, top two or some sort of historic defense, but they should be top six or seven, which should be more than enough with Tom Brady leading the offense.
Well, Lee, let's talk about Vita Vea for a second. Heck of a talent, could start for any team in the league. Lee, I'm not arguing that. But Lee, the guy's playing 45% of the snaps, and that's the way it's been. Why is that? Is it going to change in 2022? We don't know that, Lee. It's not by accident. The Bucs don't do things by accident. You know Bowles. He's on top of the details. There's a reason for it. I think there's too much pressure. Lee, tell me if I'm wrong, on the guy who's supposed to exert the pressure, which is Shaq Barrett. I think there's too much pressure on Barrett in terms of this pass rush. We don't know if Devin White's going to be a factor. He was not a factor on the pass rush in 2021. He wasn't. He blitzed more than any player in the league and came up with 3.5 sacks. Lee, those are the facts. Those are the facts.
To be fair, he did have a boatload of quarterback hits.
He did?
He didn't get the sacks. He got pressure, but he didn't get the sacks.
Now, you could argue that, Trine Shirinka is going to do at least as much, if not more, than Jason Pierre-Paul in terms of being a pass rusher, and that's probably true. You know, Golston doesn't give you much in that regard.
He does a good job with pressure.
And Hicks has to stay healthy. So, Lee, I see holes. I see Steve's point. But I want to see better from Devin White. I think this defense will go as White goes. And he talks a good game, but I thought he had a very average season last year, and average doesn't cut it.
Well, you brought up a couple things there, Ira. I agree with Steve in the sense they have the foundation, the core, to potentially be elite. Potentially is a loaded word. We all know that. There's too many question marks for me to say they will be elite or that they are elite. I got to see it first. For me, elite is what that defense did in the playoffs in 2020 when they faced a murderer's row of quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, and got through it with a Super Bowl win. That's what I expect from an elite defense. They certainly weren't that way last year. Vea, you know, we talked over and over about his snap counts. I don't know if you saw this, Ira, or not, but Jeremy Fowler is doing his top 10. You know, the summertime is the season of lists. So Fowler, absolutely, like everybody else, had put together a list, and he did a Mike Sando routine where he went out and talked to a bunch of NFL suits and coaches, all of them unnamed, all of them unsourced. And one guy, I'm going to guess he wasn't with the Bucs, he claimed Vita Vea was a top three defensive tackle. But here was the money quote. He's one of the best tackles in football when fresh. Those two words, when fresh. I'm not saying Warren Sapp was correct in this, because I don't know if it's conditioning. I don't know if it's injury. I don't know what. And we talked about this before. But remember Warren Sapp said Vita Vea is too heavy to play defensive tackle in Tampa. And that quote to me, those two words, when fresh. Now, according to ESPN, they had Vita Vea at 581 snaps last year. And they said that's way low. And to Steve's point, and Steve's made this point over and over and again, he's not wrong. If you're going to pay Vita Vea big money, which he's getting paid big money, and if you need big play from him, which he does, quote unquote, when fresh, he's got to be on the field. He has to be on the field. I know you asked him about that, Ira, and he didn't like that. He bristled. He pushed back on you. You could tell that really got under his skin when he asked him about snap counts. But the evidence is there. So I don't know if it was his knee injury that kept him as a part-time player. I don't know if it's conditioning. But for whatever reason, he cannot be a part-time player if this defense is going to succeed.
Well said, Lee. And Steve, as far as Sapp's concerned, let's go right to that statement. I don't want to hear Sapp talk about politics. I don't want to hear Sapp talk about entertainment. But see, if Sapp is talking about playing defensive tackle in Tampa, I'm listening. I'm listening. And he said what he said, and he likes Vita Vea and likes the way he plays. but maybe he should drop some weight, Steve. Maybe he should.
I got you, Ira. I got you. Well, we'll see. We'll see how he shows up with camp starting next week. I'll put this out there, though, Ira, and this is why I don't think it's that big of a deal, or I'm not really worried about it, however you want to phrase it. Look at the team that won the Super Bowl last season, the Rams. They ranked 15th or 17th, depending on which ranking you like to look at, in the NFL during the regular season in defense. A very average defense. They got hot in the playoffs. Their superstars came to play, and they closed it out and played well. Your Chiefs, a couple of years ago, before the same thing, you could make the same argument with the Bucs in 2020. They got hot defensively and closed out a gauntlet. And your Chiefs the year before, Ira, when they won the Super Bowl, terrible defense. And then after the bye week, they got hot. They, you know, did a good job in the playoffs, solid job, and while they rang up a bunch of points. I think the Bucs have everything they need to have a Super Bowl defense, the talent that they need. They just got to get the right mesh and have it be working at the end of the season. So I'm not worried about it.
Steve, to your point, if the Bucs continue to average 30 points, they're going to win a lot of football games. You know, they're going to win 12, 13 football games. You average 30 points.
Yep.
Guys, I'm not saying this is a bad defense. I'm saying it's not an elite defense.
Yeah.
So, you know, how many games are 17, 14 these days in the NFL? Not a lot. They'll win their share of shootouts. But, you know, I don't think this is a top five defense.
Sage, you wake up in the morning, you realize you have storm damage. What do you do?
If you even think you might have a disaster on your hands, you've got to make the first call to Florida's Elite Restoration. First call to Florida's Elite Restoration.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, they will be available to you 24/7, and they're going to respond quickly. They'll come out to your home with thermal imaging cameras and all the great technology for a free assessment of what's going on. Maybe it is a leak that was under your sink after you came back from vacation for the weekend. Whatever it might be, mold that you find, they're going to be on it. And let them know that you heard about their service, Florida's Elite Restoration, from JoeBucksFan.com or the Ira Kaufman podcast. And if you use their service after the free assessment, you'll get $500 back. That $500 you can use toward your deductible if you're going the insurance route, or maybe it's just $500 off a cash deal. Let them know before you reach an agreement on getting work done. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Put it in your bookmarks. Training camp coming up here. You know, Leonard Fournette was buzzing around on Twitter yesterday. He's upset, saying that he weighed 245 at mini camp, and, you know, basically said something like, "Oh, y'all write anything." And he was upset with a report from Rick Stroud, who said that he was quote a donut shy of 260, and Bucks coaches were very upset with him. You know, Leonard Fournette lashed out. Who's telling the truth here, Ira?
Well, you got to remember one thing, guys. Fournette is a sensitive soul. He's a sensitive soul. That doesn't mean he's going to be on the Waltons reunion show next week, but he's sensitive. And that was formulated during his years in Jacksonville, when towards the end, he was branded, you know, as a poor teammate, a poor attitude, and that really haunted him. And I think it really depressed his free agent market, and it worked out to the Bucks' benefit that they were able to get him at a reasonable price. So, you know, he's very aware of what people are saying about him. He did have some attitude issues under Arians, had to be straightened out under Arians. He admits it. Arians tells the story. Fournette doesn't deny it. So, Lee, we're going to see for ourselves in a week. It's not going to be long. And we'll take a look at Mr. Fournette. Now, look, he's making money. I'm not going to be a guy who says right now in late July that it's gone to Fournette's head and his body is not where it should be. Let's go out there. You're going to be out there every day. We will rely on the three of us to report how Fournette looks. He doesn't like this idea of the 260, Lee. I say go out there and show us.
My attitude about all this, I could sum it up in one sentence. Is it September yet?
Yeah.
If playoff Lenny can't drop 15 pounds between minicamp and the first game, week one, which is what, the 9th of September, then we got a problem.
Hey, I'm down 10 pounds and I'm eating pizza. You know.
So I'm not. This is like low on the totem pole of my concerns with the Bucks.
Well, they usually give these guys a weight to report at, and really everybody gets that, I'm sure. And that's mostly driven by trying to prevent injury. They don't want guys pushing hard during camp when they're overweight, practicing every day, and end up with a joint injury or who knows what. So, I mean, it is important, but I'm trying to get at the truth, Ira. That's what I'm trying to get at. I don't know if we're going to get that. You know, hopefully it's really not an issue. He looks good on some of these videos he's posted, and you know, no one's going to know either way if he's within the ballpark of where they want him to be, Sage.
Nobody's going to care what he weighed on June 10th. Nobody's going to care.
No, of course not. Nobody cares what you weighed on June 10th, Ira.
By the way, is it just me? Or I'm done with the workout videos. I mean, it's got nothing to do with football. Really, it's got nothing to do with football. Like Warren Sapp famously said, you don't pump weights on the 50-yard line. You know, Jameis Winston and his workout videos, playoff Lenny, they're all out there. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. You know, get on the football field, then I'll give a damn. I don't care what you do in the freaking gym. Enough.
Sage, a question for you. JPP went for a visit with the Ravens. They didn't sign him. And what they did do, though, they ended up working out a deal with Justin Houston, who was with them last year. So they don't need an edge rusher. But the interesting thing is that Houston signed for about $2.3 million plus some minor incentives. So that's not a lot of money for a guy who is sort of in a similar spot in his career as JPP. And so JPP has been putting up his own workout videos. That's what reminded me of this. He's showing, you know, he's throwing them up on Instagram. He clearly wants to play, especially, you know, he visited the Ravens, like I said. As time goes by here, Ira, do you think JPP becomes in play for the Bucks if JPP in his own head realizes no one's going to give me more than $3 million? I'm going to have to prove it. And part two of that is, do you think JPP is too big of a personality, too big of a presence to bring into the Bucks locker room if the Bucks don't plan to use him full time? Do you think he could handle being a situational guy?
Bits, as usual, you go right to the heart of the matter. If JPP comes in and Cheyenne Shirinka is getting the bulk of the snaps and JPP's getting on the field 15 snaps a game, I don't think that works, Lee. I don't think it works. Lee, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm the guy that said they should look at Carlos Dunlap as a veteran pass rusher in case Tryon doesn't work out and doesn't take a step up, Lee. I've said that. But I think Dunlap would sign with the expectation he'd be a situational pass rusher. I don't think that works for JPP. I just don't. I don't think that fits his personality, Lee. He's been a starter his whole career, and a really good one, very instrumental in the Bucks championship season. So we're not even talking about physically, is he capable of making a contribution, Lee? I just think psychologically, the way he approaches the game, I think it could be a distraction. I think it could be a problem bringing him in on a situational basis. I don't think that's a good fit.
I just think it's funny that I had to go on a workout video rant to spur Isbit's memory about JPP and his Instagram videos. After you hit the point, hit the nail on the head. He might be too big of a personality to sit on the sidelines and not be, I don't know if a distraction is the right word, but be a pain in the ass. No, I'm not saying JPP is a bad teammate. He's not, but I think he even knows that if he goes somewhere, he wants to be on the field. He doesn't want to be an understudy. He doesn't want to be a part-time player. He doesn't want to show up on game days not knowing if he's going to be on the active roster or not.
Right. Right.
Hey, Ira, Lee told us when he was in Vegas that he threw $5 on Mike Evans to be the MVP because it was a big payout. And how come you guys, because you're one of the voters, Ira, you're on the official AP voter list, the 50 folks who vote for those legitimate postseason awards, or the official ones anyway. Why won't you guys pick a wide receiver? What's the mindset there? Why is that essentially a sucker bet? You know, Cooper Kupp, maybe he got one vote, and even though he had a historic season, I think even if a guy got 2,000 yards receiving, he might only get 4 or 5 votes. What's the mindset there, Sage?
That's the way it is, Steve. You mentioned Cooper Kupp. That's the prime example. And Lee, that's why the odds were so long on Mike Evans. Or DeAndre Hopkins or Davante Adams. I mean, that's just the way it is. Who's going to have a better year, Lee, than Cooper Kupp had last year? Who's gonna do better than Cooper Kupp this year? And Kupp didn't win it. Didn't come close to winning it, Lee. I might have got a stray vote or two. It's just the way it is. It's the quarterback. And then Adrian Peterson broke through, I believe it was in 07 or 08, when he had 2,000 yards rushing. Wide receivers are an afterthought when it comes to MVP, Lee. I hope you're right with Mike Evans, because it would probably mean that the Bucs had a sensational 2022 season.
Yeah.
But if Cooper Kupp can't generate much off that season when he won the Triple Crown, it ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen.
Once again, his bits cuts to change. Sucker bet.
But Lee, it's only $5, right, Lee?
It's only $5. I could win $1,000. So what the heck?
You got my vote. Cut me in for 500 clams over there. You got my vote, DeKemper.
Hey, Ira, Bill Curry Ford. People can be like you and drive a cherry red Ford Escape. They can order a 2023 and start a custom order right now with concierge assistance online at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan's going to give you $500 just to do it and no deposit down. It's so easy to get what you're looking for. Bill Curry Ford. And remember, even on used vehicles, nationwide lifetime warranty, nationwide lifetime warranty. You can read all about it at BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, look, it's the time of year for predictions. And you know what? I'm not going to put you on the spot on any sort of big prediction. We like to do that later in training camp. But I did want to ask you, since so many fans will be dialed in quickly because there's so much to see, even during the first 4 days of underwear football when it comes to training camp, the receivers here, Ira, do you have a pecking order here? Do you think that they're going to keep more receivers than you might expect? Is there a guy that you expect to maybe break through as far as the depth chart here? Nobody talks about Breshad Perriman, but he's proven within the offense, and now he's had a little extra time, and clearly he's here because Tom Brady wants him here. Perriman would have gotten a job somewhere else. I don't doubt that somebody would bring him in to be their fourth or fifth receiver. So Brady must like him and found a little trust in him. Got Tyler Johnson. A lot of people like to write him off. Guy's going into his third year, and he caught 36 balls last year and didn't get hurt until the very last game that he got banged up. And he can do different things, and maybe he's snapped out of some of his issues. You know, not every receiver's powerful out of the gate. Scotty Miller caught 500 and something yards 2 years ago and was a dominant player. Now he's added muscle. He's healthy. No more foot injury. Jalen Darden's a mystery, but and then a lot of people go crazy over Cyril Grayson and his 11 career catches. I don't see anything that makes me think that guy's going to be anything other than a name that will go into a trivia question. But where do you stand on this tremendous core of receivers? And do you think the Bucs might just keep all of them?
I think it's a team strength, along with quarterback and offensive line. It's a team strength. Because when you go three deep, if they're healthy, I don't think any team matches up to Evans, Godwin, and Gage. And I know Gage hasn't caught a pass from Tom Brady, but Gage is going to be effective. It's Tom Brady. And Gage showed enough to me in Atlanta that he's going to make a strong contribution. I'm looking at Tyler Johnson. I'm looking at the guy. Jason Light is rooting for Tyler Johnson like nobody's business. He's a Buck draft pick. And he's been okay. I think he's been a little disappointing. I think that's fair. He hasn't been awful. He's not a bust. But it's time to step up if you're Tyler Johnson. How much chance is he going to get? He's going to get some chances. The odds are that those three guys ahead of him aren't all going to play 17 regular season games. They're not all going to take all the snaps. There's going to be room, Lee, for Tyler Johnson to gain the trust. And, Lee, I think it's fair at this point to say he has not earned that trust yet. Doesn't mean he won't. So I'm looking at Tyler Johnson. I don't want to hear about Jalen Darden. And I certainly don't want to see him returning kicks. They got to do better than that. Perriman is who he is. Well, he's been around a long time. He is who he is. He's decent depth. Scotty Miller could make some plays. I'm looking at Tyler Johnson. Lee, I think he needs to really show something this year, or otherwise he's going to be in real danger going forward.
Initially, I thought Tyler Johnson this summer, I thought, was safe until Godwin is declared healthy. Because outside of the immortal Cyril Grayson, who do they have at slot receiver? Gage, yes, but Gage is going to be an outside receiver until Godwin gets back. Unless you're going to tell me Gage is going to be a full-time slot receiver and they're putting Perriman out there. That's a possibility, but I don't know if that's, you know, locked in or not. Once Godwin gets healthy, he might be on the bubble, but I don't think he's on the bubble any more so than Darden. Remember about Darden, his biggest cheerleader is gone. Arians loved the guy. He was the only guy I think in that building that loved him because he's always talking about it. Well, you know, Arians got kicked upstairs, so I don't think Arians controls the roster any longer. And as far as Tyler Johnson, inconsistent. I think that's the best way I could describe it, Tyler Johnson. Inconsistent. He makes some fantastic catches, and man, he drops a lot of cans of corn, especially in the end zone. I don't know how many touchdown passes that guy has dropped. He shows you enough to warrant another chance, but pretty soon that's gonna run out on him.
All right, Sage, it'll be fun to watch. Johnson, I think he's going to do very well this year. I think he's going to show it in training camp. We're a little programmed to just expect these guys to be strong right out of the gate. And Johnson was pretty good. You know, he's still a lower round pick, but I can't get away from the fact that he played every game last year. He caught 36 balls. Brady threw him a good chunk of targets, and he's my guy to watch, Ira. We'll put it like that.
Okay. You see, once again, you hit the nail on the head. Brady threw him a chunk of targets. If Brady trusts him, he's got a leg up on making the roster.
Well, it's going to be fun, Ira. Lee, in the last podcast, we talked about Ira's fashion sense of wrapping that towel around his neck. We're definitely going to get some pictures, Ira, on Twitter. I had some requests for people who had no idea what we were talking about. We got to get some photos this year, Ira. Maybe you can start a trend. Maybe Brady, his clothing line, will create a towel, training camp towel.
What am I, Lawrence of Arabia over there, Steve? I mean, come on.
I just want your feedback on this. I know you've been covering the Bucks since Leroy Sumlin was in a crib. No, I'm joking. But I don't know how far back you go with the Bucks, but I dug this up last night. Sean Sullivan, you know, general manager, Bill Curry Ford, First Family Ford, our good friend. We were talking about edge rushers. Of course, we were talking about edge rushers. That's one of his favorite subjects. But he was talking about the terrible history of Bucks drafting edge rushers. And I didn't know it was this bad. You know, Leroy Sumlin, as we all know, was the very first draft pick of the Bucks. Very first. Since Leroy Sumlin was drafted first overall, forget that it was the 96 draft, just after Leroy Sumlin was picked. Since that time, that's 46 years, the Bucks have drafted two defensive ends who have had 10 or more sacks in a season. Two.
That's pretty bad, Lee. That's all.
Yeah. Now, I like Joe Tryon, but he's going up against some really ugly history there.
I think one of them might be Marcus Jones.
And the other one is Chidi Bang Bang.
Chidi Bang Bang. Boy, two people, 46 years, Lee. You know, Leroy Sumlin hasn't played since 84. He retired after that season. And, of course, who comes to town in 1985? Yours truly, the Sage. Never saw Leroy Sumlin play. I did see him in two playoff games in 79. That was my first trip to Tampa. But then when I got to town permanently in 85, Sumlin retired. There's no John McKay. I got the beautiful Lehman Bennett. And back-to-back 2-14s, Lee. That was my introduction to Buck football.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah, you know, some teams just don't draft certain positions well. It's like, look at Bill Belichick and wide receivers. The guy just hasn't figured out how to draft a wide receiver. He's picked up plenty of guys other ways, but just hasn't figured it out. And we'll see if this is the year that we get a sense if Jason Light has figured it out, as we see if Joe Tryon Shoyinka takes a step forward or he goes into the Noah Spence realm, you know, and just doesn't do too much. All right, Ira, say goodbye to everybody. We'll be back with another podcast this week, and then we'll be back from training camp. Say goodbye to everybody.
Can't wait for training camp. I've got six white towels ready to wrap around my neck. I got the hat, I got the glasses, I got the water. I'm ready. Are the Bucks? I'm ready.